So it's good to be with you here today. You know, usually I have my Death Wish coffee and go to the gym and, you know, take pre-workout. So I think it works for sermons too. So if I start speaking in tongues because of pre-workout, do we have an interpreter present? No? All right. So I get the, if you turn to 2 Timothy 2, I get the third and fourth verse, and the title is Be a Soldier of Christ. And me in 1986 is when that started to happen. I was a senior in high school, and if you're a crayon eater, you almost got me. So some of you will get that, right? But it's ironic that my truck is Marine Corps red, even though I went into the Army. And so I did a year of school actually at a Bible college and could not handle school anymore and went into the Army, okay? But when I ask you, when you think about what is the word soldier, what comes to your mind when you're thinking? Like just with that single word, soldier. And there's a wide variety of what that is. And on this next slide, you know, it might be the Delta operator, because you've watched too much SEAL Team 6, you've watched too much Rambo. But it's also the person that's freshly graduated from basic training. You know, so it's a wide gambit. And what is different is how much dedication there is, how much time they've been in the service, what kind of schools that they've been to, how much experience that they've had. But they're both soldiers, aren't they? They just have different jobs. And so when we get into the passage today of us recalling, even though there's an exhortation to be a soldier, it's a personal letter written by Paul to Timothy as a young pastor. But though it's for a pastor, these attributes are still applicable to any man that is in the church. And so this first point, as you look at verse 3, the call to duty, even though it's the whole theme of the conference, is, look at verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I better start my timer. Otherwise, they'll probably send me the lineman. It says you, so this is a personal address to Timothy. And it's personal, it's just not generic. You know, Paul is saying you. And he says therefore, so when that is there, you have to find out why it is there. So if we go back and look at verses 1 and 2, it starts out similarly. You therefore, my son. So our therefore is based upon two things here. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So first of all, it's because of the grace in Christ Jesus that you can receive the call to duty. Because of his grace, because of your faith in him, belief in him. And second is because of your discipleship. Now that's a great famine in American evangelical Christianity, especially within these last 60, 70, 80 plus years. The only people that got discipled is anybody that went away to Bible college or seminary, not within the church. And so, no, I can't do it. Sorry. Sometimes these rabbit trails don't go far. I'll do it. So the incorporation and franchising of the church has turned it into a business, and it's not a church. Okay, you realize, and it happens here, is pastors come from the people that are in the body, that have lived with you, that have cried with you, that have prayed with you. You don't put an ad for how much ever money, and they come from Canada down here to teach you. It's the people that we disciple and raise up. Okay, I'll quit preaching, next verse. So, but there's two things. So, you know, just the first question, is this lacking or filled in your life? I'm glad that you're here, so that's a first step, but of really seeing what discipleship is. And so there's key reasons of being called to duty. And when we start to look at this, the first one is to endure hardship. And so you're gonna get some Greek geek minutes here in a second. And this idea of enduring hardship, kakopatheo, means to suffer physical pain, hardship, and distress, to suffer pain, suffer hardship. Praise the Lord, sign me up. Right? If that's on a recruiting poster, nobody wants to. But that's the reality of the difference of the two kingdoms that are in this world, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He refers to this word further within the same book in verse 9 of chapter 2. He says, "For which I suffer trouble," same word, "as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained." Later in chapter 4, telling Timothy, he says, "But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." So three times just in this one letter to Timothy, he's saying, get ready, it's going to come. You need to endure hardship. And part of our call to duty as soldiers of Christ is to endure hardship. And when you go through those verses, it's because you're a Christian that you're suffering hardship and trouble. Okay? And so there's plenty through that, but you know, it's, riddle me this, Batman. How do you tell a Calvary pastor you can only teach 25 minutes, right? Sorry, you know. So the first point, call to duty, endure hardship. But within that same verse, something that a lot of us need to wrap our minds around is the call to duty is your identity. Is that you are a soldier of Jesus Christ. And this aspect of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, in some languages, it's the one who carries a gun, but such expression wouldn't fit back in Jesus' time, would it? But it's meaning the one that is ready to fight. He carries the sword, not the one that's violent, but the one that fights for a cause, that fights on behalf as directed by the one who is charged by rulers to fight. And so, just in this first verse of your call to duty to endure afflictions is your identity is wrapped up as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're supposed to fight. Now, some of us are glad about that because kicking doors and clearing rooms is fun, especially when it's bad guys. But others may not. And so, but the challenge is to fight spiritually, isn't it? It's not physical violence. It's to fight on your knees. All of these things, but if we forget that our identity is wrapped in Jesus Christ, you're going to try to be a good Christian all by yourself. And then you'll win Pharisee of the Month award because it's based on what we've already covered in the first two verses of the grace in Jesus Christ. Being discipled, you can endure hardship. You are secure that my identity is in what Jesus Christ has done, not in what I've failed to do. As we go on to try to apply some of these things and to give a better picture, I want to, you know, the military analogies are going to come. And so, you know, where's my veterans? Okay, raise your hand. I just want to know where the PTSD is going to come from. All right. So, but here's the point is like basic training. The point of basic training is to remove your identity. Because you are a selfish individual that thinks they know what they want to do by going in the military, and it gets destroyed. Okay? You're thrown in a bay on these World War II bunks for 8 weeks, right? Lack of sleep, all of these things that causes you to lose your personal identity, and you focus on being a unit because you need each other just to wake up in the morning. For some reason, they think you can run 5 miles the first day, and you see how many people fall out and puke, right? So you go from being weak to making you strong. They teach you basic fighting skills to combat the enemy. Those types of things, they're just basic, right? The motivation has been removed from being selfish to it's about my team. It's about my squad, it's about my platoon, it's about my company, it's about my unit. It's about those I'm around. You know, when you graduate from that, and that's all just basic stuff, right? Is then you go and you get a job, an occupation specialty, and there's a wide variety, and you get trained specifically in those skills. You know, whether it's infantry or military police or cook or whatever it might be, is you focus in on specific skills so that you can function in your job to serve the entire corps that you're in. And when we look at these two initial things for enduring hardship, you know, we should remember that our identity is in Christ. that we need to be spiritually fit to take care of those who are around us and those who are with us in our families, our marriages, our community. We need to have basic Bible fighting skills of fighting sin, doubt, apathy, complacency. That one will sneak up on you big time, won't it? And our motivation has to move from what do I want to what do others need. But then you have specialty skills that are given to you, biblical skills of the simplicity of loving God, loving others, and loving the truth. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But it's difficult at some times. So a few questions. You know, my sermon note says it'll take me 13 minutes if I read through it. So I figure that's 26. That's not working. So I have to talk quicker. So just a few questions up there on the screen as you look at them, and they're meant to challenge you, and you'll have a different compacted set of questions at the end. But do you know Jesus? Flat out. Because if you don't, you're not a soldier. You're a slave under the power of darkness. That's the reality. Is he Lord of your life? Are you following after him? But are you enduring hardship as a good soldier of his? Do we have what it takes? Why or why not? If it's wrapped up in our own self, we don't. And half the time our prayer is, Lord, just help me be faithful today and to keep on fighting. And though you're a basic soldier of Christ, this life doesn't stop there, because you can have that initial experience and now it takes discipline, isn't it? A call to discipline. If you look at verse 4, just the first phrase, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Now, this is meant to be to show you that this is a logical fallacy. So I'll just ad lib a little bit. These words aren't in scripture. No one in their right mind who's a soldier of Christ does this. No one entangles themselves, ties themselves up, binds themselves in the affairs of this life, because you're supposed to be doing what? Fighting. Engaged in warfare. That's what is supposed to happen. In Fort Benning, Georgia, some of you'll know this, they have what's called wait-a-minute vines. And you're patrolling through the woods there, and if you're not conscious of where your feet are going and where you're moving at, guess what? And some guys fall on their face because their rucksacks are so heavy. Is that they're there all the time. And you have to consciously remember these wait-a-minute vines are all over the place. Where am I putting my feet at? Similar to today, isn't it? You never know what's going to happen. But if you already have it set in your mind, I'm enduring hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I'm engaged in warfare, when that wait-a-minute vine comes wherever it comes from, you're prepared. Don't be entangled. It requires discipline and focus, and these are opposing purposes. You are either engaged in warfare or you're entangled in the affairs of this life. Let that one sit on you for a second. You know, we've talked about the military training and some of these other things that you go to is, yeah, you had your occupational specialties, but you also get different qualification schools. And these are like technical and tactical expertise schools, and some of them even like change your main job a little bit. And a lot of these different ones that are more combat oriented are sleep deprivation, heights, confinement, escape and evasion, which they call legal torture because you signed up for it, right? But all of these things are to prevent you from being entangled and to help you endure suffering. And the point is that when war is at its worst, is you're still physically and mentally prepared. That's what some of these schools are for, and it's a discipline that is developing spiritual muscles for your Messiah. Now, when we start to look at what's our qualification schools, I only came up with a few, and one is discipline of the word. Is that if you don't know this, you are going to fail. If this is not inside of you, if this is not in your heart, you are left with the lick of sense that you got, and that's about it. And some of us know it don't get very far, does it? So the discipline of the word and these four things, know the enemy, that you're able to identify the persons of attack. And there's one key guy's name here, but he has a lot of tactics, doesn't he? To be able to identify those tactics, the methods of attack, right? And I've said it before, you know what I gotta do, okay. What keeps some guys from falling in sin is they do not wanna push 10 digits on their phone to call their brother to help them. You also have to know the victor, okay? The war doesn't rely upon us, guys. You are called to fight. Jesus Christ has already won. He's already won and is coming back. So we just depend upon him. Lord, help me be faithful to fight today. Know your mission is to fight with his strength, his word. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11, which should be on the screens there. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, did you all get that? You identify your enemy and you identify his attack right there. Resist him steadfast in the faith. You know your mission, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He's the one that is making you win. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. With the call to discipline and having those specialty schools, you also had leadership academies, right? They wanted to make sure that you could find your way out of a paper bag. And it was to identify people that were proactive and responsible for others. And even with us in this analogy of being a soldier, of are you proactive and responsible for others, this discipline of biblical leadership. And it all has the basic same premise with all of it. So being a godly husband, being a godly father, being a godly man, and the three attributes of all of that is loving others, service, and being an example. Is we do not have to make this complicated, but you do have to be consistent. We need to have focused fighting, engaged in warfare, not a distracted delusion of what makes us feel better in that second. We need to put away these hobbies that lead us to hell and engage in the battle that is set before us. So are you engaged in battle, or have the affairs of this life entangled you? Are you focused, or are you distracted? And then more applicable, which this is one that you'll discuss with each other at the end, is where do I need discipline in my life? And this isn't, oh, I need to go to the gym. Okay, I'm talking about spiritual disciplines in my life. And so we went through your fulfilling your call to duty as a good soldier. We went through that you need discipline in your life. And these two things are great. Is that, well, you can still fail. Is that we have the tendency to rely upon ourselves, don't we? And our own assessment. I'm doing pretty good. I haven't punched anybody in the throat this week. That's good, right? So we can lie to ourselves, and the failure that actually lies at the heart of the matter is our own heart's loyalty. And this last section is the call to devotion. The latter half of 2 Timothy 2:4 says, so we read, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. This latter section, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. That word please is aresco, to cause someone to be pleased with someone or something to please. In a number of languages, the equivalent is to cause someone to be pleased with something. And it's expressed as to cause someone to be happy about, or to cause someone to feel good about. And for those of us that know Scripture, there is nothing better to hear from the words of our Commander, our Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. Because that's what it means. But to hear that is there's a necessity of two things, is to be devoted to the mission. It's not self-righteousness that pleases God. It's not even works that please Him. Devotion is utter dependency upon Him, living our lives by faith consistently and constantly. It's walking by faith that is pleasing Him, living by faith. That is what is pleasing Him. Now, there are certain individuals in the military that we call the waste of space. They were present for the paycheck. They were biding their time to retirement. And that word was ROD, retired on active duty, right? And so they would take any duty that required minimal effort, minimal activity, minimal investment, minimal attention. And these were guys, they were just trying not to get kicked out so they could do their 20 years. This isn't who you called in case something happened. This is who you forgot to call, right? And there's a parable of Jesus that the apostles had asked Jesus to increase their faith about. They were hearing about how much they were to forgive their brothers, and we probably need our faith to increase in that. Brothers that had sinned against them, and Jesus gives this parable, and I'll just read it to you. So the Lord said, and this is Luke 17, it says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? So he's saying, if you have your own servant and your servant comes in from plowing, you don't tell your servant, hey, you sit down and eat. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk. Afterward, you will eat and drink. So as the master of that area, what is normal is the servants served the master. Then after the master was finished eating, then they ate. Verse 9 is the one that will get you. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. But here's verse 10 that you should see. It says, so likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. And it is the same. It's like if it's another word just saying, if you are just doing what you think you need to do to be minimally accepted by God, yes, it's based upon Jesus Christ, but there's an unprofitableness to that. If we are just cruising through life on Christian grace, not engaged in fighting, we're unprofitable servants. We're still servants, right? But we're unprofitable. The call is to go above and beyond. We move away from I have to do this to I get to do this. And the people that move from that I have to do this, I get to do this, we had a different name for them in the military. They were called lifers. They're a lifer. And that means they were all in, both feet, right? Never late. They went to the gym on their own before there was PT. They studied their profession to be the best they could possibly be. They had a 20-year minimal mindset. Most of them had 30-year minimum mindset. They developed other people. They discipled. They knew what their own weaknesses and strengths were, but also they were replacers. Who's next when I'm dead and gone? A good leader is discipling who is next. But for us to get this mind of a lifer is not an option for y'all. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 15, it says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Now listen, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You're supposed to be a lifer. We're supposed to be a lifer. Our life is supposed to be lived for him. But it's not a check the block. It's a get to. It's a devotion. It's that is who our commander is. That is who we are following. That is who we are listening to. My life is not mine. Let that sink in a minute. Have you chewed on that? Believer, Christian, soldier of Christ, your life is not yours. Your historical American independence is rising up, isn't it? Because if we really look at this, right? Who's married? Raise your hand. All right, raise your other hand. I just want to see who's awake. All right. I have 2 minutes. You'll remember this. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. At home, 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, which the opposite is what the truth is. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you provide for your household. Whether it's your parents that you have to take care of, your kids that still live with you, your wife, you take care of. But also one another. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. It's part of being a soldier of Christ. The other part of this call to devotion is the loyalty to the Lord. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please, which we talked about, him who enlisted him. Who enlisted him as a soldier. Is that God has reached out and we've professed faith in him. And just to, for you to get this, you have sworn allegiance to Jesus Christ as your Savior. For those of you that know what it is like to enlist, to raise your hand of swearing allegiance to protect the country from all enemies, foreign and domestic, you understand what that is. But listen, sworn allegiance is just not what comes out of your mouth. It's what is in your mind. I believe this from my nose to my toes. My mouth confesses it. I'm a follower of Christ, a Christian, a soldier of Christ. But you know what? Your hands and your feet match it. This isn't just something that comes out of our mouth, and then the rest of the time, it's the total opposite, because there's that H word that's not a cuss word that we have. It's called a what? A hypocrite. Loyalty to the Lord is holistic. It's all of you. It's just not Sundays at 9 o'clock. But if you want to come to Ellicott, it's 9:30. All right? It's all of you. Everything. Thought, words, actions, belief, confession, commission. My life belongs to Christ. My life's lived for him. It's lived in for his mission while we're here. And my mission is to love others through God's grace, sharing Christ's gospel. So is our life well-pleasing to God? Let's not talk about that too long. Have we forgot that he has enlisted us as a soldier? And then what in my life needs change to be a devoted soldier of Christ? So what you've seen in the breakdown is the call to duty in verse 3, the call to endure, the call of what your identity is. And the first part of verse 4 is that call to discipline, discipline of the word, discipline of biblical leadership. And then last, the call to devotion. Devotion to mission and your loyalty to the Lord. I'll pray, but they'll put the questions that you guys are to discuss up on the screen. Guys, you can only fake it so long till you fail. Some of us still feel like we're just getting out of basic training, doesn't it? The more I read this, the less I know. But you keep going, you keep fighting, you keep going forward by the grace of God, living by faith and power of the Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word. And just ask that even this letter to Timothy, that your Holy Spirit would continue to speak to our hearts. That there might be a necessity to peel back the layers of hardness that we've built up because of this world. And we need to wrap our minds back around who you are, that you've enlisted us, what Christ has done. And that we're all soldiers of Christ. And Lord, we just ask that you'd help us be faithful in the fight today. Because it is because of your love that we're even there. So may you bless this time of discussion. May it be a time of admission and of edification, that we build one another up as brothers in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think there's a last slide with the questions that are up there that Rob has. Yep.